I just want to share some things with you for the next 20, 25 minutes. I'm not really teaching this morning. I'm sharing some thoughts around the times that we're in right now. And at the conclusion of that time, I'm going to ask Pastor Jamal to come and lead us in our giving. Worship in our giving. I have intentionally tried to stay in a particular place around speaking into the things that have been going on more recently with the death of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, others. What happened in the nation and in the world as a result of that. I've been very intentional in what I've said relative to this virus, this pandemic they're talking about. I don't name it because I don't want to give it any more life than it already has. And so I don't even say the name. There's a certain name you don't even want to say. But I'm not naive to what's going on. And I've been very intentional in what I've said relative to the current election and all this going on has gone on and where we find ourselves today. I believe that if we are not wise, we'll find ourselves saying a lot of things and you've heard me say this before, this statement before. It's our nature to make uncertain things certain, just in life. But also, I believe for the church, for the body of Christ, because we do have the gift and the office of the prophet, often prophets who can see, but sometimes what you see, you don't need to say. Don't need to talk about it. I believe that God wants some of us, he wants to have a relationship with some of us that just says, I'm just showing you this, that's all. I ain't asking you to tell everybody. I'm just showing, this is me and you hanging out, you know? I'm just showing you this. I'm just telling you this. And so what I started to see and still now is all the voices, all the different prophets, all the different things that are being spoken. And so what I found was, for me personally, I just started dialing all that down. I stopped reading certain things. I stopped watching certain things. I stopped listening to certain things because everybody, as pure as we would like to think the Word of God is through us, it's still filtered through the flesh. It's still filtered through intellect. And I remember hearing a dear brother of mine, Dr. Mark Sharona, was sharing. He says, and I love the way he put it. He said, there is no prophetic word that is purely God. I'm paraphrasing. What he's saying is, it's filtered through you. And you're going to share it based on you. Now, the less there is of you in the word, the better chance it really is God in all God. But many of the words that have been out recently, I just would hear them and I'd say, I don't know about that. And I do have prophetic gift. I've walked in the office of a prophet as well. And so I do have that ability to see, but I don't believe it's all about saying. As a matter of fact, many of the things that I write, songs that I write, I believe are out of that prophetic apostolic place, like the song we sang this morning, I Still See You High and Lifted Up Above the Earth. That song came to me just in a moment of seeing everything and listening to everything that's going on. There are narratives out there in the mainstream secular arena, just like there are narratives in the body of Christ as well. And depending on how you filter the information or where you have aligned yourself has everything to do with the narrative that you believe, the narrative that you buy into, and the narrative that you speak. And one of the challenges for the church, for the body of Christ, is how we allow ourselves to become aligned with certain things, with certain people, with certain political parties and agendas, and not recognizing God never intended for his church to be on that level, ever. The kingdom is above it. Jesus said, be in the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, that has hurt the world. It has hurt the church, because some took that to mean we're not supposed to be involved in anything. But that's where the enemy tricked us. So right now we're having to make up for the fact that areas we should have been involved in, we weren't. And so we have to own that. And that's why I found myself on Wednesday night with those of us that come out for that time of worship and intercession. That phrase we sang this morning, Jesus, have mercy on us, we sang that Wednesday night. You just got the opportunity to participate today. But I'm telling you, because you see, often we pray out of a place like we got to give God some details so he knows what to do. But right about now, the best thing we can say is, God, have mercy on us. That's it. God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And so I've been very intentional not to speak certain things, particularly not from this platform. Now, there's individuals that I talk to and we share different things. But I was in a meeting recently in Dallas, Texas with some leaders, some business leaders. This group has come together as it relates to what some call the seven mountains or the seven spheres of cultural influence. This particular group I'm a part of is the business mountain or the business sphere. And these individuals either are high up in business, own businesses, or they have ministries that are marketplace focused. And I was invited to be a part of that, particularly because of my perspective on kingdom. And so I found myself sitting in this meeting, and everyone in the meeting is doing something relatively significant. So everybody's got their opinion. Everybody's got their particular view of how this thing should go. And I watched my dear friend Ford as he just worked and tried to bring everybody together. But in it, different people were saying different things at different times. And I sat there very quietly, because my prayer that morning when I got up was, God, I said, Holy Spirit, help me to know what to say and when to say it. So I'm sitting in this meeting, and everybody is talking and they're sharing. And a dear brother, he's a good friend of mine as well. He's from this area. He's sitting on the other side of the table, and he just leans up and says, John, you haven't said anything. You know, I want to hear from you. And I sat there. I jokingly said, bro, don't call me out like that. Then I said this. I told him, I prayed this morning. And I said, Holy Spirit, help me to know what to say and when to say it. I said, and when I have something to say, I will say it. Now, you have to know, everybody else in the room didn't know that he and I really know each other. So I came back later that afternoon and kind of let everybody know, no, we're good. Because I did say it with some apostolic grace on it. I did say it to make clear, I appreciate that, but I'm okay. So I said, when I have something to say, I'll say it. So this morning, I got something to say. And I need you to hear me. I have shared, just as Brother Jerry, Pastor Jerry, over the years, we have shared principles of kingdom in an effort to bring the body of Christ believers into a place of kingdom, a place of kingdom perspective. That's one of the things when Jerry and I met and I shared with him that he said, yeah, this brother gets it. So a few things I'm going to say, you're going to say, oh, we hear that. We hear that all the time. But I need you to not be dull of hearing this morning. Because what weighs in the balance, folks, can be scary for those who don't know God. What weighs in the balance and what we are about to experience, or because we are in the world but not of the world, for many, it's going to shake them. But you and I are part of an unshakable kingdom. Come on, that's a good time to clap. And if you happen to be listening by way of Facebook, I need you to really be listening. I have shared numerous times concerning the kingdom perspective. And so this morning, I want to talk about maintaining your kingdom perspective. This place of kingdom, this mindset has been my mindset as long as I have walked with God. I didn't always understand it, but I certainly did. I certainly have written out of that place. One of the songs that I wrote years ago was God is in Charge. As a matter of fact, can we play that? Can we see if we can play that, pull that up and play it? This song was written back in 1903. No, I'm just making sure y'all listening. Wrote this song in 1992-93, somewhere around there. Was serving as the pastor of Music, Worship, and Arts for Christ Emmanuel. And when I wrote the song, I taught it to the choir and realized it was like an anthem. And then fast forward, with the wonder of technology, I reached out to a dear friend, Simeon Ambergy, and I said, who writes and produces and arranges for me and others. I said, do you think that you could put orchestration to this? Because when we recorded it, we recorded it a cappella. Matter of fact, Darwin, you sang on it. Can hear your voice on it. We sang it a cappella, and we released it on the Nation of Praise Recordings. So I sent it to my friend Simeon. What I didn't know that he would do is, not only, he took the actual vocal and wrote the instrumentation to it and laid it over it. And when I heard it, I said, my God, that's exactly, because I was thinking we would go back and re-record it. Do we have it? Can we pull it up? Can you turn that up? Listen to this. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. God is in charge. God is in charge. But you've got to be clear on the distinction between in control and in charge. People say, God is in control. Well, maybe. Now, this is where the air goes out the room. Or as one friend said, okay, unpack it, unpack it, unpack it. God is in control when his church is in its proper place. He is in control through his church, but he is in charge, meaning that when it's all said and done, he's the one that's going to settle the score. I like to use that analogy when I say you go to a restaurant. Casting vision right now. Cheesecake Factory. You go into the restaurant, you order your food, and you looked at the picture, and it looked wonderful. You get there, and when they bring you your food, it looks nothing like that picture. Or you get your food, and you're tasting it, and you're saying, this tastes terrible. And your server says, well, I don't know, that's exactly what you ordered. You say, who's in charge? There are those who've been given delegated authority, but then there's the person in charge. God is in charge. He is in control through his church that he left to be the entity in authority in the earth. It's out of that mindset that I talk about this thing of kingdom perspective. A constant awareness of Jesus who is king and his kingdom that encompasses all things. You see, it's out of the place of kingdom and that reality that you and I recognize we operate and we live on a higher plane. So stay with me now. Yet we have the responsibility here in the earth to bring about transformation. It's an awareness of the spirit realm that is in operation and the spiritual authority we have in it through Jesus Christ. I agree with Brother Jerry when he said, I'm praying that eyes are opened. It's what Paul wrote in Ephesians. I'm praying that your eyes of your understanding are enlightened so that you're able to see and recognize who you are, what you have, who you're called to be. It's the acknowledgement that Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. And as ambassadors, hear me now, we have been given that power and authority to influence, impact, affect, the natural and spiritual realm for the advancement and the establishment of his kingdom throughout the earth. God is in charge. He is in control through his church, through his body. That's you and I. I said I had something to say. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20 gives a wonderful rendering of Jesus and all that's encompassed in him. It says, we look at this son and we see God who we cannot see. We look at this son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. Oh, I like that. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, far above everything. I still see you high and lifted up above the earth. Far above, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God's, of God finds its place, its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. That's a good time just to clap right there. Would you do that? God is in charge. The one who's in charge has all authority and the final say. And so let me give some perspective in light of our current climate, our current election. If you're taking notes, you might want to write these down or act like you're writing it down. It's all good. It's not the person in office. It's the church, the ecclesia. It's the church in its God-ordained position that must rise up and uphold a righteous standard in the earth. We are called to walk in positions of influence, positions of authority, and positions of power. So let me say that again. It's not the person in the office. It's the church, the ecclesia, in its God-ordained position that must rise up and uphold a righteous standard in the earth. We are called to walk in positions of influence, positions of authority, positions of power. And we have not done that. And that's why we say, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. I don't know about you, but as I'm finding and I'm listening and I'm seeing the counting taking place and I watch some of the news as it played out, as they made the final tallies and they made the final declaration of the winner, there was something in me that wasn't quite settled. There are those right now that are navigating through the fact that they believed and hoped for one candidate over the other, and now they see it's changed. There are those even in the church for the body of Christ who are saying that somehow the church, we've lost here. Now you got to hear this. Hear this. If we, the church, succumb to the thought that we have somehow lost something, we must be willing to realize that we are allowing ourselves to think and operate on a lower plane, in a lower place than the kingdom of God, which encompasses all things. I shared a little earlier how that there are those who have been sharing prophetically who they thought would win. And I saw one gentleman who I commend who spoke prophetically as others have, and what he spoke prophetically didn't come to pass. And he got back on social media and repented and said, I'm sorry, I missed it, forgive me. Now that's integrity. That's integrity. Because hear me, even the best of prophets can add some of their own stuff to what God is saying. That's why with every prophetic word that you get, you got to be able to, as they say, eat the meat, spit out the bones. Some prophetic words, you hear them, you got to take that word because you may just be in a place where it ain't making sense, you ain't hearing it, don't want to hear it. You need to take that word sometime and just put it on the shelf. Don't just reject it, discard it, but maybe you just need to wait till you're in the right place to hear that word. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've had some of those words where I just flat out said, no, that ain't God. Only to realize later it was God. Yes, sir. I had a guy telling me, I see you writing books. I said, oh, man, you don't know my mind. I didn't say it to him. You don't know what you're talking about, man. I write songs. I hadn't written 4 books. Now, it's like, if I could get back to that guy, I'd probably give him an offering or something just because he... We've got to be very, very, very prudent in how we approach it. I love the fact that that gentleman got online and said, I know what I said. I said that this guy is going to win. I said that this guy would have a second term. He said, but apparently I missed it. And I need to come back and tell you that I missed it. Now, I can appreciate that. But if we, the church, think we've lost something, we're operating at a level that God never intended for us to operate in. If we're operating out of a place that we've lost something, it puts us on the defense and not the offense. It puts us in a place where we feel like now we've got to regain something. We've lost sight of that kingdom perspective. God is in charge, though men may say not so. God is in charge. The heavens declare it so. The universe's splendor speaks of his sovereignty. He's God of all creation, in charge of everything. God is in charge. He calls the stars by name. Whew. God is in charge. His power is still the same. He knows the times and seasons. The hearts of men defined in him is strength and wisdom, the breath of all mankind. Don't think for one moment, if God doesn't want somebody somewhere, I just happen to think like that. If God doesn't want somebody somewhere, they're not there. All the planning, all the projections, all of that can be gone in one moment. I believe that we must maintain a perspective that we are on the offense and not the defense. When Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, in these spiritual realms. That's our reality. But nothing you have on relative to your armor is to allow you to retreat. The scripture says your feet shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your loins girt about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Shield of faith wherewith you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. You have the helmet of salvation on. Everything you have on is to advance. And hear me, whether we can see it in this moment or not, the plans and purposes of God are advancing. So let me just move forward here. If you base your future, your security, your safety, your provision, or your protection on a political outcome, you have relegated the power of the Almighty God, his will and purposes, to the constraints of mortal man. If you are basing your future, your security, your safety, your provision, your protection on a political outcome, you have relegated the power of the Almighty God, His will and His purposes, to the constraints of mortal men. You have somehow, some way in your mind allowed yourself to believe that the outcome of this election impacts God's sovereign ability to bring His will and purposes to pass. I was watching the response to the outcome of the election, and I'm sure many of you as well. I have never in my life seen that kind of response to somebody winning the election of the office of the President of the United States. I've never seen people take to the streets and celebrate like what we saw. My first thought was, this looks like some other countries. When a dictator is overthrown, I looked at it, and I have to tell you something. Something in my spirit said, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Because here's a reality. There are spiritual implications. Hear this now. There are spiritual implications that came with the current president. Just as there are spiritual implications that will come with the president-elect. I want to say that again. There are spiritual implications that came with the current president, just as there are spiritual implications that will come with the president-elect. Therein lies the reason for the church to maintain its kingdom perspective and not allow ourselves to get caught up with what we see on this natural level. Because in the current administration, while there are some who will talk about the policies that were enacted for the good of whatever, and I'm not trying to get into the details of it, at the same time, with that administration, unleashed some things spiritually that gave license to some activity that has impacted many, and more particularly people of color. Now, this is my something to say. Having said that, you also have to be willing to see, recognize, and admit that with the upcoming administration, comes spiritual implications that for the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, we will have to deal with. And it's going to be imperative that as best possible, we are dealing with it from a kingdom mindset. That we are doing all that we can praying for mercy and grace to step back into some of these arenas that we have vacated now, so that we are able to be a part of raising up the righteous standard. Because while there are many who think it's about to get better, I need you to know that in the times in which we live now, better is a relative word. Because what's going to be better for some is going to be worse for others. It is God and God alone who has the power to set in place anybody at any time. This is what the word says concerning our God in Isaiah 40, verse 21. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely they have been planted, scarcely they have sown, scarcely their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble." That's what the word says concerning God. What is our response in the midst of this? Well, it's never changed. It's still the same. The mandate on the church, the mandate on us has never been to go to church. The mandate on us is to be the church. Jesus made it as simple as he could in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, when he said this in Matthew 5 and verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." He said, "You are the light of the world." And then he says, "Now go let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven." See, that's not deep. That's not spiritual. That just means the influence God has given you, use it to make a difference. Use it to make a difference. The mandate is still the same, to make his kingdom our reality. And to simplify it as best I can, wherever God has placed you, that's your kingdom assignment. I pray that God sets us free from this mentality of the high and lofty callings. Every calling is significant. Every calling has its part, plays its part. If we were to look at it from the seven mountains or the seven spheres of cultural influence, find yours. Be the salt. Be the light in family, in business, in government, in education, in media, in arts and entertainment, in the spiritual climate or what we call religion. We are not a religious institution. We are a living organism. I want to say it again. We are not a religious institution. We are a living organism. We are the body of Christ. You don't need a title to fulfill your kingdom assignment. Even as the world seems to have spun violently out of control, don't think for one minute that God is not about to do something. The stage is being set. The stage is being set. And for you and I, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of his kingdom, I want to assure you, encourage you, that we are stepping into our finest hour right now. Now come on and bless God.